Hi, I'm Amanda Pacheco.
This is Sheila.
Hello, it's Davida.
I'm Gina Lovato.
Hey, it's Alana Dunn.
I'm Caitlin Bailey.
This is Melissa Novak.
It's Sean Jacobson.
Hey, it's Bethany Nicole, and welcome to Sex Party.
And welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Sex Party with your host, Dustin Rybka.
And welcome to Sex Party. I'm your host, Dustin Rybka. In this week's episode, friend of the show and host of the Ask a Sex Therapist podcast, amazing podcast, Heather Shannon is here with me. This week, we are going to chat with the therapist. We're going to ask the sex therapist about everything taboo, right? Daddy, daughter, role play, brother, sister, role play, porn, step bro, I'm stuck in the dryer, gang bangs, all the things that some people may consider dirty or wrong or weird or crazy. We're going to talk about why it's all normal and how role playing that out and using porn can actually let you live these fantasies and discover more pleasure. We're also going to chat about the pandemic and how it slowed us all down to the point that now that we're out of it, we all feel like we're in fast forward. So without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with Heather Shannon.
This week's conversation.
Heather Shannon, welcome back to Sex Party. I love being able to say that, especially when it's people that are amazing, like yourself. I mean, spoiler alert, everybody I say welcome back to Sex Party is pretty goddamn amazing. So you're in great, great company or you wouldn't be coming back. But how are you doing? Welcome back.
Thank you. It's awesome to be back. And I have seen some of the repeat guys and I feel like I'm in very good company. So
Oh my God, thank you.
Yeah. It is an honor.
Yeah. I think I'm going to do something called like the whatever circle where it's like all of you guys and we'll figure that out.
The sex party circle.
Sex party circle. Yeah. I could be. Because I don't want to say winner circle. That's like really shitty. No. I don't want to say that.
No.
But everybody who's on the show has been a winner. And for the winners listening or perhaps watching on YouTube, because we love YouTube, they reversed a strike recently. So thank you for that, nice. YouTube. Could you like maybe bring some of these people up to speed who haven't seen your first appearance? Who are you? What do you do? Please plug your podcast because I think it's one of the most ingenious. Just in the title alone, it's pretty brilliant. So I'll hand it over.
Yeah. So Heather Shannon, I'm a certified sex therapist. I work with people in committed relationships who have lost the sexy spark and are trying to get it back. And I am the host of the Ask a Sex Therapist podcast. So I've been doing that for about a year, and I'm not quite as obsessed as Dustin is with this podcast, but close. I love podcasting. You do meet the coolest people. Like, it's so fun that like I've gotten to know you a little bit through this and through Instagram, and it just makes me happy to connect with other cool people.
Yeah, no, it is a, if you're thinking about podcasting, first thing you should do is take a nap. Okay. And when you wake up from that nap, then get started on podcasting because you're going to need your rest. Currently it's post holiday. If you're watching this on YouTube, I'm sorry for the visual representation of exhaustion on my face and eyes, but we'll find a way to make up for it. Sorry guys. Yeah. I look like a fucking zombie, but
it's fine. We're here, we're having fun. Yeah, that's what matters.
Yeah, we all made it through the holiday season, and so we're here to talk about sex and relationships. For those of you whose sex and relationships have survived the holiday season, I feel like I saw this earlier on Instagram, and it was something like, is anybody not alarmed at the speed at which time is traveling and how nothing seems to feel the same as it did? And I immediately thought like, oh wow, that is something I think about consistently lately. And I wonder how that is affecting relationships. Do you feel that way? And do you have like clients that are like, it's the holidays feel weird. Nothing seems to matter anymore. Why did they close Toys R Us?
That's interesting. I think that lots of people are feeling just the world changing and like stress about the world and, you know, politics and war and, you know, even technology and AI. And I think there's just a lot of things that people can be worrying about right now.
Yeah.
And I do think there's just so much information coming at us so fast all the time. And so maybe that feels like it speeds things up where people are just almost like on the defensive, just like, ah, life's coming at me and I'm just like trying to navigate and survive, you know?
Yeah.
So I see that.
Yeah, no, I mean, for me, I will say I spent the holidays with my girlfriend, Thanksgiving through New Year's, and it just felt like Thanksgiving, like the whole thing, like thrown in my face. And then like, and then before I could even like get up to recover, it's like, oh, yeah. Christmas. Oh no. Yeah. And then like, yeah. then like New Year's is like knocking on the door, you know, but
yeah,
there's no space. Right. So when I went to the store on 4th of July, I saw pumpkins for Halloween and I was like, it's fucking the 4th of July. And then when you go to get your Reese's, you know, peanut butter cups for Halloween, you're seeing Christmas trees. And then
I know
when you go to for a Christmas tree, this is a new one this year for me. When you go to the store during Christmas time, there's fucking Valentine's shit out already.
I saw St. Patrick's Day shirts at Walmart. God. I'm not even kidding you. I'm not even kidding you.
Oh my God. Maybe they were drunk and they put them out early.
I hope so.
I hope so too.
That would at least explain it. But you're right. I think what you're saying makes sense and like the no space idea.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I mean. It's like things are just coming at you, whether it's like advertisements or like you're supposed to be doing this for this holiday. And isn't your house decorated? It's almost like all these reasons to feel like crappy about ourselves, you know? But I think you do have to get intentional.
13 reasons why. No, I get it. No, I'm kidding. But no, I mean, you're right. You do need to be intentional, but that that's hard because if you are in a relationship and you work with people in relationships, you know, there's a pressure there. Like as well as I know my girlfriend, you know, finding and selecting a gift and ordering it and hiding it and whatever. And then you go to the store and it's like Valentine's Day. And it's like, wait a minute, I just got the Christmas gift. Now I've started thinking about Valentine's Day. Like it's this stress. And I know it's like, you know, the Walgreens and the Walmarts and the fucking people that are hiking the prices and pushing the holidays. But at the same time, it does, I feel like that does cause stress in a relationship.
Yeah, I think like what you're describing reminds me of this idea of bandwidth. And I see that like being out there, like dating on the apps and stuff too. It's like a lot of the people I meet, it might be like, oh, nice person, nice connection. Maybe there's even some chemistry there. And then you're just like, they have no bandwidth. Like there's not much left to give. I think like so many people are either struggling with mental health or they're struggling with boundaries or they're like overgiving to work or they're overgiving to family and they can't say no to people. And life is just, again, like coming at them and it's overwhelming. So I think a lot of people are in that.
Yeah. And I'm one of the people who contributed to the sale of alcohol skyrocketing over the holiday season. I know a lot of people fall into that. It's just hard to like, I think, I don't know. There's something there like with the pandemic. Like I feel like for whatever reason, it felt like time stopped. And so when we got out of it, it was almost like fast forward. Like, you know what I mean? It's very strange.
That actually makes a ton of sense because I think, I mean, the pandemic sucked, right? Like, don't get me wrong, but there was something about slowing down, having like less stimulation, having like less social obligations. It was different.
No, it was.
Yeah, it was more spacious in some ways.
It was, and like I find myself sitting here like, because I hated the pandemic. I'm a social person.
Yeah, same.
I need to go have you know, like I said, my fucking Tito's and fucking on the rocks, whatever. I need to connect with other people, even if it's just a bartender. And I just hated it. And what I hated the most was like, you can't leave. Like and so it was this weird sort of scary time. But here I am in the fast forward days, right? And so we're moving super quick, like zipping through all the holidays and all the stress. And I'm like, huh, That might be nice.
I wonder if we're trying to cram everything in. Like, I wonder if it's like we know what it's like now to have things taken away. And I wonder if there's sort of like a, oh my God, who knows if something like that's going to happen again. Let's just cram everything in. Life is short. Let's go. You know?
I think that's exactly what it is. But then my question, and this is where it gets weird, and I hope that you can help here because I need the help. Sure. But do you think that that's happening? Like, okay. I was a part of the crew of people who thought when this ends, like when the pandemic is over, it's just going to be a silly everyone's having sex with each other thing. Mm. And everything has moved fast with holidays and fucking Fast and Furious movies and whatever, right? They're just shoving shit down our throats.
There's a lot of stuff, yeah.
There's a lot of stuff. But the thing that I don't think has happened is that. I don't think that it's like group of people fucking on lawn at music festival. Like none of that. If anything, the relationship stuff bottomed out and the Vin Diesel movies went upwards. So like, like what would you say what you're seeing as like a sex therapist? Like, I mean, do you think relationships sort of slowed? Because I do remember towards the tail end, I was on the dating apps and I used to just jump on them, you know. They know that this show is full disclosure and I don't care how I make myself look. So like, I used to be on the dating Love apps, that. Like just to have sex, you know, and like, just to, and maybe like, Tito's on the rocks with somebody that's smart. Right.
Yeah.
But towards the end of the pandemic and then thereafter that just vanished and it became all like, how long do you want to, you know, talk before we get into a relationship? And it's like, what? You know, so I'm wondering from your professional experience, not from my idiocy, right? if you notice that.
That's an interesting one. So you think people are like more relationship focused and less sex focused now?
I do, because if you look at like history, like there was almost the exact same thing as COVID back in like 1918, 1917, whatever year it was. And then people were cooped up for 2 years and they had to mask and get vaccinated and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then boom, the government bans alcohol in 1920, and 1920 through 1930, all the way up to the Great Depression was like the wildest, like let's kill everyone, have sex with everyone, like party, like dance, jazz came out of that. And so I think people were expecting that again, especially with our technology. It's easier to hook up with people and it just didn't happen at all.
I kind of think that, yeah, the pandemic thing was like deep, like spiritually speaking, I think. And I wonder if people were like, I need a partner to go through this with, you know? And then like Roe v. Wade happened and I was interviewed for an article about that. And like, if it was kind of the end of hookup culture, actually. So I think that's a factor too, of like, if abortions are less accessible or people are like, well, shit, like if sex can be like really a life-changing decision in certain states, then I don't want it to be too casual. So I think that could be a factor as well. I mean, and also there's still people just having casual sex.
Like, well, yeah.
They're out there.
Yeah, good for them too. We salute you. I think the villainization of casual sex for some people, COVID was sort of a catalyst to like really drill down on that and be like, that I don't do that. That's wrong. Or like whatever. I did notice the attitude of some people, especially on the dating apps. They would like say, like, you know, in 2019, it's like, hey, I'm Allison. Like, what's up? La, 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 la. And then like now in 2022 is like, I'm Allison. No casual hookups. Like all caps.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. So, big deal. It's a big fucking deal. And then you have the people that were in relationships just desperately want out.
Absolutely. Yeah. That was like the other thing that happened, you know, where people, I think it just caused everyone to reevaluate.
Yeah. It was definitely, you know? Are we done reevaluating though? I feel like we came to a question mark.
Well, I don't know. It does feel like the world's on fire still.
Yeah.
So maybe we're still evaluating, I think. Yeah.
The world is on fire and there's Christmas music playing in the background. Just somewhere we
can't
find.
That's kind of what it feels like. I think that like captures the energy of the world at the moment. But But I still think some people are like, you know, let's have sex, or hey, I don't have the bandwidth. And so casual sex is still where it's at.
Right.
So, I mean, there could be both. Maybe it's just like polarizing.
Well, now that everyone is depressed and terrified, we can push into, what I really want to like talk to you about, is more of like the taboo sex, right? Like whether it's with a partner or you're on an app looking for, you know, someone to role play with you. Mm-hmm. I feel like we don't talk about taboo sex, taboo topics as much. We do on this show, but I really want to push into it with somebody who is seeing it like through therapist eyes, obviously. And who better than the Ask a Therapist, Heather Shannon, right?
I got you.
Yeah, for sure. And so there are a lot of different ways, and then mm-hmm. taboo is different for different people. But do you have couples like come in and talk to you about like wanting more taboo sex, wanting less taboo sex, wanting mm-hmm. permission? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, it's usually one wants more kinky sex and one doesn't. That's pretty common.
Yeah.
You know, and one's kind of like, yeah, I want to be adventurous and like spice things up. And some people will get specific. I think some people are afraid to be too specific, but mm-hmm. Inevitably we do have to get into some specifics if I'm going to help them. So, some people, you know, want to be more into the power exchange and, you know, dom sub dynamics. And some people want, you know, to get into their foot fetish or, you know, whatever it is. And to me, it's like, it's all good. It's more just like trying to get on the same page with people. And I think there's some people that don't have any stigma around it. It's just like not really their thing. But I think there's a whole lot of people that would have a lot of fun exploring that stuff, but they just don't let themselves because of like all the stories and beliefs that they still have about it.
Right, right. So is it usually, let's just generalize here because that's always fun. this show is so chaotic. All right.
It seems like you for sure have ADHD. I've got a little bit of the ADHD as well.
You know, I mean, I feel like.
Let's call it nonlinear instead of chaotic. Nonlinear.
I think we're moving at a good pace. I don't think that
so
is
too.
All over, but I just mean chaotic in the sense that, you know, who would want to generalize? I would. So here we go.
Let's go. Your show.
Is it more the male partner that wants to like get freaky deaky, or is it more the female? If you had to choose.
Half and half. I mean,
really, you're going to give me the half and half?
I am. I think because I think people want to think that it's dudes and it's not. Mm. You know, mm. I think people want to think like men have higher sex drives and women don't. And it's just not the case. You know, and sometimes right. I'll work with like a female couple and it's like, well, they're both women. So sure. But one still has like the higher drive and one doesn't. So, you know. I'm sorry. I'm going to go with the 50-50. The only exceptions I would say if it's like there's some hormonal periods of time where I think like right after giving birth to a child or like while breastfeeding, like women might be less, you know, interested due to like evolution and biology. Mm-hmm. And maybe around menopause too, which is when hormones are going crazy. But the interesting thing about that is some women are so horny around that time. So I think it could go either direction at that point.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that tracks with all of my non-scientific data.
Okay, good.
And the experts standing by of they don't exist. They're not there. But I do think I mean, what could be more on point than 50-50? I think that you're mm-hmm. correct. And again, just from like a gut feeling, I think people do, especially, I mean, of course men do, but like they just discount the shit out of a woman's sex drive. And I just think that like they just don't know how to dial into it. They don't know how to like activate
100%,
it.
Dustin. So accurate.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's important, right? Obviously. But like you have to take time and really kind of like learn that, like learn how to.
Yes.
Because women are freak shows too. And I think that
100%.
It's an equal opportunity game, sex, right? And you just have to, I think both people need to feel comfortable, and that's not an easy thing. And yeah. when you get into the taboo shit, like, you know, some of like the, I mean, big in pop culture and in porn, obviously, is like the brother, sister, daddy, daughter sort of thing or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And, it's a lot of the, like stepmom, I think.
Yeah. And like, they're only saying step because otherwise it's illegal to even like pretend or whatever, like for, or you'll like get cracked down on or whatever. And I do feel like there is something to that. There is something to like role playing a situation where you're the dad and the partner, she's your daughter, or your brother and sister, and oops, you know, or whatever. And most people immediately are going to be like, that's fucked up, that's gross, whatever. But for people who are willing to dial into that, I think that there is a reward to it, because it does feel forbidden and like taboo and wrong. And if you look at like the stats on Pornhub, it's all like, well, not all of it, but a lot of it's like gangbangs and bukkake, right? Those are whatever. But then it's also like stepbro, daddy, daughter, mom. Like that's your top five in the world. So what is that saying about us sexually?
That's a great point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, so there's this book called The Erotic Mind by Jack Morin, and he talks about the four cornerstones of eroticism. And one of them is things that are taboo. It's like, it's a whole chunk of like what we find sexy, but it's like that fine line between allowing ourselves to like go experience the taboo because there is pleasure in it. And then, but then also not being like, oh, but that is taboo. And I do believe that's taboo. And now I'm like shaming myself, you know? And so it's like, can we overcome the shame part enough to kind of let ourselves enjoy the taboo stuff that is kind of appealing to us, you know? And I think we can go down these rabbit holes too. Like if someone's watching porn where they're like, oh my God, I can't believe what I just watched and that I was like turned on by that, you know? And I think a lot of people experience that as well. And then they're like, oh my God, like what's wrong with me? But I think really people just don't talk about these things, you know? But I think a lot of people are doing it in private, as the Pornhub data shows.
You know? Yeah, data doesn't lie, folks, unless you're Elon Musk. But I guess data lies all the time. But yeah, I think that, of course, no one's going to be out at dinner with their friends and be like, oh my God, I saw this fucking video on Pornhub where the brother like gets drunk and like fucks his sister on accident. And then, oh, you know, I mean, might say that if I'm your...
You would probably say that because you have a comfort level with yourself.
Yeah, I don't care. Whatever.
Yeah.
I think, and I'll take it one further, I think that porn provides safety to explore those things where otherwise you're being judged or shamed.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting because porn can be so polarizing in general. And I'm kind of like neutral on porn. I'm much more like, if it's working for you, awesome. And I think you're bringing up a really good point that you're allowed to explore something like in a fake way, in a way that's like not you actually doing anything really with your body or acting out the fantasy, but just to kind of mentally engage and like get to see a visual of like what it could be like. And there is a lot of value in that, you know, and it can help us decide like, is this something I'd want to explore for real? Or is this something that like, I'm happy to kind of keep it in fantasy land, you know, and that works for me.
Well, and so that's another question that you bring up that's really kind of important too, is I think a lot of people say to themselves, oh, wow, I watched this gangbang thing. And does that mean that I want to have a gangbang or I want to participate in the gangbang and whatever? And so how does one discern whether it's just the fantasy that they would just want to play out with a partner in a role play scenario, or they really would explore doing these things?
You never know for sure. Like basically this is all happening in your imagination. And so you have to kind of imagine yourself doing it for real and imagine the emotions that would come up. And are you going to feel anxious? And are you going to feel like, oh my God, I'm so freaked out. I can't even like be present to enjoy it. I've had that happen with clients even where like, you know, like, oh man, there was like a sex worker and I like actually like paid her and we had sex. And like, I didn't even like let myself do any of the things because I felt so like wrong doing it. And I was like, oh, that's fascinating. So sometimes it's like, we don't know until we actually do something if it was crossing the line. Like you kind of don't know where the line is until you cross it. That's my opinion.
Yeah. And I think there's something to be said about practicing, right? Like if you mm-hmm. really want to, if you're curious about a gang, I mean, gang bangs are hard to organize. Let's be real. Right. And so
that's things people don't realize that like, if let's say if you want to have a gang bang, you're supposed to find like four or five guys or however many guys, 20 guys, whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of work. You have to find a location. You have to figure out how to make it safe. You have to like decide if or how you're going to screen the people.
Yeah. I mean, location, you know? Let's be real. Location's really important.
Like, I mean, yeah,
you need a place that's big enough for that many people, but also that's not going to be like everybody, I'm sure. Okay. Like the football locker room seems safe, right? Mm-hmm. What about when the janitor comes in? Does he join? Does he tell on you? What is going on? Right. So
what locker room is having a gangbang in real life? I mean, hopefully not high schoolers.
No. Not the high schoolers. But although I have heard stories from women that I did attend high school with, mm-hmm. About things that went down in high school, whatever. But
interesting.
But I've also heard a lot of stories about like professional athletes, like post basketball or football game that women, whatever. So like that's a thing. Okay. But I feel like in porn, it's sort of like that's where, you know, you see the locations in porn and like,
whatever. I know,
but you're right. Like you do need someone's house where there's going to be no Amazon deliveries that day. Mm-hmm. And no one's going to come home and scream bloody murder, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So location is a thing. I mean, these things yep. are hard to organize. You do need to be screened. Even if you're using condoms, that many people, there's stuff being fucking mixed around in the cauldron, you know?
I mean, this is fascinating because it's like, it requires a level of like professionalism almost mm-hmm. and like maturity and adultness to organize something like this and like consider all the factors. And you know, I'm someone who, if I'm going to have sex with a new partner, I will always have like a safety conversation. And when I share that with people, sometimes they're like, but doesn't that kill the mood? And I'm like, you know, and I'm almost thinking like the way we're describing a gangbang is probably like the least sexy way to probably describe it. But it's kind of like you have to almost like put in that like mature adult, you know, effort up front. And then you can like really relax and enjoy sure. like knowing that you did that.
Yeah. And like, you have to decide, okay, phones, no phones, you know, mm-hmm, are you okay mm-hmm. with this? Whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the guest list is important too, because you can't have two people who don't like each other, you know, and whatever.
Like, oh man, I didn't know I'd run into you here.
Yeah, exactly. You son of a bitch. You owe me $20. I don't know who would be that pissed whatever, man. But, yeah, but the thing is that I think is, you know, you have to also go back to that point I was trying to make before is like practice mm-hmm. makes perfect. How do you practice a gangbang? Well, maybe you go watch one, like, or maybe you
start with like two people first and then you add a person each time.
Okay. See, you always mm-hmm. had better ideas than I do because you're you're the professional. I'm just the jester. So that's why you're here. That's why you're here. To make the sex party better. How does one go about that? If you have a couple come in and one partner's mm-hmm. like, I want to bring in all these fucking people. The other partner's like, this guy's crazy or this woman's or whatever. Like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Where does that, I mean, is it a negotiation? What does that look like?
Yeah. For sure. I think it is a negotiation. So my thing is like safety first, right? So I'm like, let's talk about how you can feel physically safe and how you can feel emotionally safe and like what needs to happen. And so let's say we get to a point where, you know, both people in a couple are on board with like, okay, here's the situation. Here's the circumstances I'd be okay with. Now we have to like find the person. So at that point, yeah, I would get specific with them about, okay, do you want to go on FetLife? Do you want to try the Pure app? Do you want to try the Field app? Like, you know, here are some ways in which you can find people and then help them get clear on how do we want to screen these people, right? It's kind of like the work I do with people and like opening a relationship, you know, this is one way to open a relationship.
With a gangbang.
People in together. I was thinking threesome to start.
I know. So I'm like, okay,
let's
we'll
do
slow
a threesome
down.
Before you have a gangbang.
All right. Yeah. We'll slow it down. Yeah.
Yeah. But threesome, I think, is, you know, still probably one of the most popular fantasies. So, but I mean, you see that all the time. Anyone who's on dating apps will always see couples, really on any dating app these days. You'll find couples looking for a third. But yeah, so sometimes maybe you meet the people out at a bar and you kind of like have a chit chat. Maybe you just do a, you know, a video chat if you want to kind of get down to action right away. But you have to agree. I think that's the thing. It's the communication and the agreeing on like how you're going to screen someone. And then the other thing that gets more complicated is like both of you have to then agree that you're into this person. Mm-hmm. And that person has to agree they're into both of you. Mm-hmm. So it's just like gets exponentially more complex. But when it works out, it can be super sexy, you know? But then you got to define, too, how are we going to handle safety? Are we doing condoms? Do we ask this person to get tested? Do we need to get tested? Maybe we have kids and we can't host or, like, you know, do we need to get a hotel room? So, like, there can be a lot of work.
Yeah. Is the locker room at the college?
It's work to have a hot sex life.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. No, it is a lot of work. I think relationships and sex, I think it's underestimated because people just see, you know, all the Christmas photos and New Year's photos. Like, oh, I want a partner like that. These people are going to Saint-Tropez and weird sex parties and I want that. But like,
right.
You know, it's a ton of work. And also at the same time, you have to manage expectations. You have to manage jealousy. Like these are things that are often overlooked, I think, just from my experience personally and through this podcast. Everybody who's ever been open in anything has been like, oh yeah, I get jealous all the time. It's like, I get incredibly jealous, but it's about, you know, looking inside me and being like, why am I jealous? You know, and you have to have the conversations like what you're cool with.
Exactly. And also, you know, I had a friend, I have a friend still who's polyamorous. And we talked about like, what's the difference between, you know, poly and monogamy and how do you know what's a good fit for you? And one of the things we came up with was if you're energized by it. So like, yes, it's work, but if you're like so energized kind of by the growth process and by the new connections, then it's working for you. And if you're drained by it, you might want to just stick with one person, you know?
Yeah. I mean, especially if you're talking like polyamory to the degree where you have like a bunch of people sort of in a relationship versus just sex, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like there's a whole spectrum. And so you kind of want to find that sweet spot on the spectrum where like the reward is worth the effort that you're putting in.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. So what would you say is a professional way to go about organizing a threesome or bringing in another person or two more people or a gangbang or whatever? Like, what are some of the like tangible steps, right? Like you said, like there's a lot of couples on dating apps. Sure.
Yes.
Right. Maybe they don't want to be so public about it or they're worried about that. So what can they do if they want to, if they agree, first of all?
Yes.
And then we're going to kind of work backwards from there because I just have a lot of questions.
I mean, there are some meetups you can go to in person. So if you don't want to be putting your profile out there, you know, where you feel super exposed, like, look at us, we're not monogamous. They do have, you know, open and poly meetups. There's some groups on Facebook even for that. If you are more on the kinky side of things, FetLife has Munches. So you can, and if you don't know what a munch is, it's a kinky meetup basically at a restaurant. Or sloshes, as if you go to a bar. So you go to a slosh or a munch and, you know, meet some people there in person. So a lot of it is relationship building, you know? You're like, who do we vibe with? Who are we attracted to? Who's fun to talk to? And also kind of agreeing, do we care? Like, do we care to be friends with this person? Are we looking for a one-time thing so we don't get attached? Are we looking for an ongoing friend with benefits type of person? And I do think a lot of it is trial and error, you know?
Yeah, as with any good experiment, it's always a bit of trial and error. Yeah, I'm, you know what's funny is people ask me all the time, like, so I want to go to a sex party. What do I do? What's my first step? I want to go to a gangbang. Not a lot of people say that, but I have had one or two ask like how they would organize it or whatever.
They post those on FetLife.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. And also maybe adjust your expectations of who you think is attending the gangbang.
who do you think is attending all of these things?
Yeah.
So like when I've been to Munch's, this is the way I describe it. I describe it as it's like the theater kids from high school, but grown up. Like because I think of kink as drama. Kink is sort of like drama for your sex life.
Oh,
so it really makes sense to me.
Yeah, no, that's such a great, that's so great. That and like, you know, people who are older and maybe a little more past their prime and lonely, right? Let's just say they're going to
get a variety.
Yes. Yeah. And it's not going to look like a dozen porn unless you're in Hollywood or something.
No.
Like, or Miami. Or yeah. Ron DeSantis' basement. Like, whatever.
Oh, but
like, nobody wants to go to Ron DeSantis' basement.
We definitely don't. No.
Yeah. No. I meant to say Jared Leto, but we talked about Ron DeSantis.
But yeah, if you're going to these things thinking like, oh my God, it's going to be like all of these hot people. And like, it's just going to be like wild and crazy. I mean, yeah, I think you and I can probably both testify. Sure. Like, no, that's not how it is. And there might be a lot of people walking around naked that you're just like, wow, I didn't need to see that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's okay.
Right.
You're going to learn to accept more body types and that's going to be good for you. but doesn't mean that you're going to want to have sex with everyone you see there.
Yeah. I mean, so number one is definitely adjust your fucking expectations. Like just
100%.
Adjust. Great advice. Yeah. Number two is, go to Google and type it in Google. And people are like, what? Oh, no way, dude. There's some secret society. I'm like, no. Go to Google, type in your city and put sex party or kink party sex dungeon, right? We mentioned Jared Leto. Apparently he has a sex dungeon in Hollywood.
Oh,
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't know about that. Okay.
Yeah. Good for him.
And
it's way better than Ron DeSantis.
But you're right. A lot of stuff is public facing these days. Even like sex workers have like public websites. Like they're kind of like hiding in plain sight. You know, I know one dungeon in Chicago closed, but another one, it's like, there's a very public website. It's not that hard to find. You're right. Google it.
For sure. but back to even getting to that part, right. With the couple that's in your office right now that's sitting here waiting for us to finish talking. Right. So we go back to this imaginary couple and one partner wants something, the other one doesn't. I mean, how do you even bring it to the middle to have a negotiation to begin with?
Yeah. So my thing in general, regardless of whether it's sex or a different area of the relationship, is we need to spend more time understanding each other. And when we do spend more time, like really on a deep, deep level, understanding the other person, the solution starts to become clear. It's like it starts to solve itself, basically. So a lot of times people will be like, well, I want this and she wants that, or they want this and he wants whatever. And they're kind of just feeling like, oh, we just totally want different things. And I'm like, let's understand, why do you want this thing? And like, what would it do for you if you got this thing? And how would it make you feel if you had this thing? And then that kind of triggers some compassion and a deeper level of understanding from their partner. And then this person feels seen, and then they do the same for their partner. I'm like, okay, well, what do you want? Like, what would this mean to you? And what would this do for you? And how do you think it would enhance our relationship? And then when they see that, this more complete picture, they might come up with a new idea. They might be more interested or willing to kind of compromise or try what their partner is into. But it usually winds up being better all around. Yeah.
Well, again, the theme of this episode is sort of working backwards, right? Like when you come to the taboo stuff, like you have a partner that's like, I just have this, I don't really want to fuck my sister or my dad or whatever they're saying, but like, it turns me on to play that out in a way that feels wrong.
That's a good one that you can negotiate pretty easily, I would say. So some people, want to do what I call dark age play. And I didn't make that up. It's an existing term, but that is more of like the incest role play. So it's not real incest and it's not, no one's a child in real life, you know, but it's kind of acting something out that feels like really kind of like dark and taboo. If someone's like, no, 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 I don't want to do that. It could be like, okay, then like, how can we get a similar vibe, maybe without those exact roles? And that's maybe where like stepmom comes in instead of mom. Or that's maybe where, I don't want you to call me daddy, but you can call me, you know, sir or master, or we can role play that I'm your babysitter instead of your parent, or that I'm the teacher at school, you know, so you can find ways, you know, I know a lot of people who like actually have kids or, people sometimes have a hard time with the word daddy. And so it could be, and mommy similarly. So it could be like, okay, let's change it. Or let's give our own meaning to the word daddy, where it's not going to be sort of like a, not a familial daddy. It's more of just like a sexy daddy, like kind of like a poppy or, you know, mommy, like you would see. It's making me think of J-Lo in some of her videos. But, but you know, if you think, if you make it not familial and you kind of define what does it mean to you? So there's so many variables you can change. You can change the words you use. You can change the specific roles. You can change the meaning of the words and the roles. You can change the degree, like how far do you go into the role play? Do you just dip your toe in to start and see how it feels? So that's my thought, is like, there's a lot of ways to kind of sample something before you dive all the way in.
Yeah. Well, is just, so if you make daddy non-familial, which I saw the clip from your episode, your most recent episode, which everyone should go watch, by the way, go make sure you go check out her.
Thank you.
But don't do it now. Don't
Not
do it right now. Yeah.
Finish this one.
Wait till this is over. Then go check out hers. You know, you guys did talk about making it non-familial. Does that mean that just for the one partner that's not comfortable with it, it's non-familial to them, and the other person gets to still say daddy and like it means something to them? Or are we both?
It could.
Okay.
It's like whatever you negotiate and agree on, you know?
Yeah.
So like for me, I think I like the word daddy. I think it's hot, but like for me, it's not familial either. It's not like, you know, we're role playing that you're actually my dad.
Right.
But it's kind of like a, it's like a, there's like a vibe. That's, that's how I look at it. Like each word has kind of a different essence to it.
Sure.
And it's really about like, what do you, how do you want to feel?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and you know, what's crazy is like, the daddy thing is so prevalent, right? But like,
so prevalent. It's like, I feel like a cliche even saying it.
Yeah.
But like,
there's a
nurturing quality. Like, I think part of the essence of that word is like, there's a nurturing quality and someone's in charge of me. Someone's not like an asshole in charge of me. They're nurturing in charge of me. So to me, that's a little bit of the difference.
Yeah. I mean, I have a hat that says daddy and I wear it almost because it's like a joke. You know what I mean? Like, what asshole would wear a hat that says daddy on? I would, you know?
I do think it's hilarious.
And what's crazy is like, I don't think people even read it out in public. Like, no one's fucking said a word to me.
Yeah.
except there was a woman who was acting really strange to me in the grocery store. And I think that's probably why now, now that I'm flashbacking.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So it is interesting with the daddy thing, because there is a prevalency to daddy, like we said, right? And there also is like a kink that's like a daddy daughter kink, which is a familial kind of thing. And that seems to be gaining. I mean, I think it's always been popular, probably, but like it's gaining more. And I think because of porn, definitely because of social media. And this is the thing, is people discount social media's effect on making the stepbro thing happen in porn, making the daddy daughter thing happen, because there's so much stuff that's on social media that starts out to get attention, but then becomes like a kink or like a, you know, like there's
that's
a,
true.
Yeah. And that's a big, big deal. And no one's talking about that. They try to censor the shit out of it, obviously, because Meta sucks. But, you know, I think that people discount the things that are being normalized because of social media. I think it's fucking great. I think all of this should be normalized. I think that if you go to your grave or get close to it, right, with all these things you wanted to act out and play out, you're going to be an unhappy fucking lady or dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you kind of got to look at like, am I hurting someone? Am I actually, sex has just gotten so moralized. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I think the real morality to me is like, are you taking away someone's consent? Are you harming someone in some way? And if you're not, then it's okay.
Yeah, truly. And at the, at the end of the day, like you have to look at it that way. And I think people just have such a weird, like this baked in, some of it's religion, some of it's like, that's wrong. I remember I was with a partner once and tried some super kinky role play shit. And the reaction I got was like less than welcoming. Let's
okay.
Let's put it that way. It was bad. It was very bad. Like I still think of that.
You're a little scarred.
And then afterwards, I'm like, hey, you know that when I said that, I didn't mean like I wanted to fuck my sister. I was saying like in real life, like this was sort of like a role play taboo thing. She's like, oh, I didn't know that. I'm like, would it have made a difference though? Because you acted kind of crazy.
Well, I think it could because I think people, it's so loaded, right? So many things with sex are so taboo and loaded, especially some of the familial role play stuff that like people don't know what you mean if you don't clarify. So I mean, you probably know more now than you did then, you know, but like, I think talking about that stuff ahead of time is good because otherwise people might jump to like, whoa, what's happening right now? Like, and it takes them out of the moment.
You know? Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like, and you know, my bad for springing it on her in that way.
Good. Yeah, but it's good to be creative and stuff. But yeah, it sounds like you guys were just on different pages with the meaning you were making out of it.
Well, I mean, when she's asking over and over again, like, come on, let's do something crazy, and then I suggest something, like, and then it's like, oh yeah, and then like we've already done. She's like, something. Let's get no, worse than that. Let's get like really gross. And I'm like, okay, got one for you.
Oh, that's another one. Like, be careful what you ask for.
Yes.
I have also made that mistake where I'm just like, do whatever. And then I was like, no, that's not what I meant, you know? And I was just like, my God, Heather, you know better than this. So be mindful of that. Like, there's this idea of like kind of opting in or opting out of sexual activities. And a lot of times we think of consent as like opting out. Like, okay, like I don't want to do this or this, but everything else is fine. Don't ever say that. Just like, don't. Because you want to opt in, especially when it's a newer partner and you're not that familiar with each other. Say, this is what I do want to do. Like, I'm okay with threesomes. I'm okay with gangbangs. No brother-sister role play. We can, you know, have sex on roller skates upside down. But, like, that's it. So, you know, like, you have to be, like, so specific what you're opting into. Because otherwise, people, you don't know what's going on in someone's mind. If you say everything else is okay, you don't know what they're going to come up with. So you don't really want to offer blanket consent to someone unless you're like in an established like master-slave relationship.
Right. What's the bowling pin for? Put it down. And I'm not going to say which partner is saying that.
Right.
But yeah, no, you're right. It sounds like you had an example of that happened to you personally. Mm-hmm. Would you feel comfortable enough giving a story, telling a story of a time where you said, hey, do whatever you want. And then something happened, like, whoa, wait a minute. Put down the weed whacker.
I will use this to illustrate a couple examples. So, I was just kind of like you were, like your person was saying, like, let's just do something crazy. I was just kind of like, let's be like wild and crazy, right? And this was a newer partner. And so he decided that anal sex was a great idea. And the thing about anal sex is it requires preparation, right? I have a whole episode on anal sex. So if you're wondering what I mean by preparation, please go listen to that episode. But, you know, like that's, it's like you need lube. You maybe want to put a toy in there first. Like, you know, I probably didn't want to do that night. That's maybe not like an everyday thing, you know? And so it was sort of like, and he was large, you know? And I was kind of like, there's so many checkboxes that like we did not go through. But then I had to, and he stopped immediately. Like, the, I mean, the second I was like, what the fuck are you doing? You know? But then I was like, oh my God, that was my fault. I did tell him to do whatever he wanted, didn't I? Right. So there's a couple lessons learned there.
I mean, did you guys where did the relationship go after that? Was it like
a fling? It was like a fling when I was out of town. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
It was, I mean, it was fun. Yeah. But
the out of town fling tried anal.
Those are fun, you know?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. For sure. Hotel bars are great bars to pick up.
That's where I met him at a hotel bar.
Or just to get picked up and just sit there and drink. I love that. And I think that you can, and see, that's the other thing is people maybe, and this goes back to the COVID thing, and it's not really that available or to an extent that it was or whatever. But like, I think some people do have this old school mentality, and I'm picturing a Mad Men Don Draper scenario here where they can do these wacky, crazy fucking things with the woman in the hotel bar, but they can't do it with their girlfriend or wife because of some weird respect thing.
It's the Madonna whore complex, Dustin, and I'm so glad you mentioned it. Like, I had this client, delightful guy, but he was kind of like, well, I kind of want to like do all this sex stuff and, you know, have orgies or try things or whatever. But, you know, I'm looking for someone who's going to be like the mother to my children. And I was like, why do those have to be mutually exclusive? Mm-hmm. Right. And there's kind of this idea of like, and I think people of all genders buy into this, but this idea that like either someone is kind of like the virgin and, you know, this is who you bring home to mom and like this is who you like partner up with for life. Or there's like the whore and it's kind of like, well, she's really fun, but you like don't really respect her. And it's like, why are these separate categories? People are beautifully complex. We have so many different aspects to ourselves. We can be nurturing and we can be sexually active. We can have multiple partners and be a great parent. You know, like we can have healthy boundaries and also, you know, go crazy within those boundaries. Like there's just, we just are pigeonholing ourselves and it doesn't serve anybody.
No, not at all. And I think that is, do you think the Madonna whore complex is like lessening or it is becoming worse or the same as it was? Cause I feel like in the 50s and 60s and 70s, even the 80s was really bad.
Yeah. I think it's lessening. I still think we have a long way to go.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I think, you know, you said you're in Chicago. I'm from Chicago. I did my sexual health certificate at University of Michigan. So there's a lot of Chicago people, but there's also people from much more conservative areas. And it really made me realize what sort of a progressive bubble I lived in Chicago, that like I didn't have to face a lot of the kind of sexual oppression that people in other areas, you know, have to face. And like we mentioned Ron DeSantis already, like, you know, some of these like purity culture things, it's like are very alive and well and, you know, with millions and millions of people in this country. So, yeah.
Yeah. It is really interesting when, you know, you, and I found this, well, now I'm just crazy because I have a sex podcast. We're going on 2 years now. And
so cool.
Everybody is like, I just like, I don't know that it's on desensitized, maybe a little bit. I just, you know, I hear and say and think.
Yeah. I think we do get desensitized and I forget like what normal people are like at some point.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The best one is like when the internet guy is in your house or the woman at the whatever store is like, oh, what's the name of your podcast? And for me, you know, I have to just say it and they're like, it's pretty crazy.
I mean, I have to tell people my job and my job title is sex therapist, you know, so it's like right there. Or I'll like go out of town and hire a cat sitter. And I'm like, half my books say like, you know, the ethical slut or like adventures in sex or something like that. And I'm like, do I need to explain this if they like look through my stuff? But I don't. No one's ever said anything. It's fine.
Well, when the maintenance guy comes to fix the shower that keeps, you know, the drain keeps backing up, I have to explain this sign that says sex party on the wall behind me. And it looks like Hugh Hefner's, you know, chamber behind the chamber.
It kind of does.
Looks like my sex dungeon. We're getting very purple plush up in this bitch. And so,
I like
so
that for you.
I have to explain that, you know, and you're right. You do find out very quickly that not everybody is as enlightened as you are. And so I think that is something that adds to when you're on dating apps and you do find a partner and maybe some things go well, but then you get to like the sex.
Yeah.
perhaps it's sort of like a mismatch. It's almost like, wow, how did mm-hmm. how did we miss that? Right. So do you have people come into your office and you're like, wow, these two are really on different pages here. What's going on?
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, and I always ask people like, what was it like when you first got together? And a lot of people are like, oh yeah, it was pretty good at the beginning. But a lot of people are also like, it was never that hot and heavy, you know, like I picked this person for other reasons. And so that can be tough. You're really starting more at like square one when you never really had the hot sex life at the beginning. It's like, okay, we got to like train you. And a lot of it is, I think, teaching the male partners kind of how to seduce their female partner at times, because maybe they're jumping ahead. Maybe they're assuming she's into certain things. Maybe they're not really taking in the feedback she's giving, or she might not know, you know, how to communicate or what she really does like, because she's always been having sex more out of obligation.
Right. Right.
Because she's supposed to. And so then it's just like a chore.
Yeah. And again, I think this idea of doing things that are taboo, mm-hmm. right, which is what we're working on here in this episode. Mm-hmm. I think that there's just this shame factor, but this idea of it being dirty, it being wrong. If you like it, you're weird, right?
And so,
you know, getting close to the end of the episode here, like, can you really speak to people that are listening to this and watching this, like, about how not only they can get over it, but they can talk to their partner about, you know, getting past the idea that, like, if you're into like porn scenarios or like daddy, daughter, brother, sister, step bro, gangbang, that is
whatever it is.
That it's normal. I could go on forever. that cartoons, hentai, like whatever.
Dusty will now list all kinks ever invented.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I did for a stage show I'm practicing for. But I think it's just important to hear from a sex therapist, right? And that was sort of my point with this episode, is to ask the sex therapist, like, to talk to these people, these party goers, about it being okay to want to have a scenario where you pretend you're having sex with your brother, where you pretend you're doing a gangbang or whatever. And so they don't feel weird about it. They don't feel like shitty about themselves. So
it is okay, you know? And I mean, I think a lot of the ability to be okay with it takes practice. You're already at the sex party, so that's a good start, you know, educating yourself and, you know, listening to other people share their experiences. You know, for me, feeling authentic and feeling freedom in the area of sexuality is super important. So like, I've actually come out to my family as being kinky. So like, it really frees me up to speak freely, and to be myself and to never have to worry about someone like outing me or anything like that. But I think what it takes is not caring too much what other people think, you know, which takes some practice, you know? And so you might have to kind of be aware of, like, what are my fears or concerns? You know, if I do this, it makes me weird. Okay, weird how? Weird in what way? Weird according to who? Like, really kind of explore that. Like, what is the fear here? Am I going to feel rejected? Am I not going to have a community? If my friends or family find out, am I worried about being ostracized? You know, and I think that a lot of it comes from belonging. I mean, the need to belong and have community is sort of like a way that we've evolved, you know, to survive. And so I think honoring that, like, that's a really big need, but also just kind of building that inner security within yourself so that it's like, it's okay if your community shrinks for a while. And maybe you start out by finding communities that you know are accepting of these things, you know, and I think that's important too. And that's where finding a Facebook group or going to a munch or even creating a FetLife profile can be a really good start. You know, it's like, hey, I'm not alone. There's millions and millions and billions, really, of people that are into these things. It's okay. Yeah. It's part of being human.
Totally. And then also too, like, I think a big part of it is the fear of rejection. Like the rejection I would talk to you about, like with the experience I had, I think people are afraid of rejection. So maybe 100%. Toss something in there for them.
Yeah.
It's not a good feeling.
No, and I think that does fit with the belonging piece as well. But like, I've had that where I'll share a fantasy and someone's like, "Oh, that's weird." Like, "Oh, you're
what
like
the fuck?" Yeah, they said like that.
Oh yeah, I had someone be like, "Oh, that's weird," and you're just like, "Oh, great, thank you. I feel so safe now." Yeah. So I think it's important to recognize that, you know, people are being vulnerable and don't yuck their yum. But yeah, if you're the one sharing, I think you have to realize like not everyone's going to be into what you're into. You can ask someone like, okay, I kind of want to share a fantasy with you, but I just want to know that it's okay. Like even if you're not into this, that you're not going to be, you know, judgy about it. So you can kind of create the safe space for yourself in that way. But I do think a lot of it comes from being okay with your own fantasy. So when I was probably like in my mid 30s, I went to hypnotherapy for a while. And so I explored some of my kinks there, you know, and I was like, is this healthy? Like, is this something that's okay for me? Or is this coming from like an unhealthy place? And it felt healthy for the most part. And it was really great to kind of be able to come to that conclusion that, you know, a lot of these parts of ourselves that we try to like lock away and put in the dark basement corner of our psyche, you know, I think kink and taboo things are an area where like they can come out to play in a way and actually experience pleasure, you know? And I think there's so much like subversiveness in kind of a really fun way where it's like, well, society tells us not to do this and not to do this and not to do this. But like a lot of those things are part of human nature and human instincts. And so what if we do create space for that? And what if that is okay and healthy?
Yeah. And I would like, you know, just being the podcast guy and not the therapist, I would add to that and say, what greater way to explore what you're capable of pleasure wise and what you're capable of mentally than finding a safe way to explore your, we'll call them darker, you know, impulses. You're having those for a reason, right? And there can be a release that's much higher from those than versus just like, the, you know, the day to day normal, like, you know, sexual thing. So yeah, I would push everybody to explore them too. I think it's fascinating that you used hypnotherapy to explore that. I mean, what was that process like?
That guy was just a great therapist. He wasn't even officially a licensed therapist, but he, you know, was trained in hypnosis and just really good and like good at providing a safe space. And it really felt like not a crutch. It felt like I was kind of going into more self-confidence and more security in myself. And that felt so good and so cool. So I think that really helped me feel secure enough and kind of come to my own answers. Instead of someone else telling me kind of like what was okay or not okay for me. So,
yeah, because at the end of the day, you know, and I think in this episode, like you've really helped to give voice to that and like giving them like tangible ways to explore that, you know, and we mixed it in with some of my wackiness and there you go. Another sex party episode. Heather Shannon, thank you so much for being on the show with me.
Thank you for having me.
Remind them in case they forgot or maybe haven't seen the first episode that you were a guest on. Where can they find you, work with you? Where can they find your amazing podcast?
Yeah. So my podcast, Ask a Sex Therapist, is on all of the podcast platforms. And if you want to, you know, find me, you know, work with me, find out more about me, follow me on Instagram. All of that information is at my website, which is heathershannon.co, heathershannon.co. And then there's freebies on there. I have a little dirty talk guide and some fun stuff. My podcast is linked to, my Instagram is linked to. So yeah, come say hi.
We will make sure everything is linked. Thank you so much again for being here. I can't wait to have you back. So we'll have to set that up. But yeah, thank you so much.
This was fun, Dustin. And by the way, he's going to be on my episode or my show soon. So you can come listen to that.
I can't wait to see what you fire at me there. So.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Talk soon.
Bye.
Big giant thank you to my guest, Heather Shannon. She will return. I'm going to be on her show very, very soon. If you guys are loving guests like Heather, if you want to see Heather again, you know, and you're listening to these episodes, you're watching these episodes, you're a new fan, you're an old fan, you want to show some love, some appreciation, some desire for more sex party, what can you do? Well, if you're listening on platforms like Apple, Spotify, iHeart, Google, you can leave a rating, you can leave a review. Those two don't really matter. What matters is that you subscribe so you never miss a fucking episode, because we drop new ones each and every single Wednesday without fail. If you're watching on YouTube, do you prefer Kentucky bourbon or Irish whiskey? Let me know in the comments. If you're watching on YouTube, I love you. I see you. I appreciate you. If you're watching on YouTube, you can leave a comment on this video. You can like this video. You can do the same to all the other videos. But the most important thing you can do, right? Subscribe to the channel. As always, I'm available to you guys in the DMs on Instagram, and I will see you all right back here next week.
Thanks for listening. The party continues next week. Click subscribe and let's make this a regular thing. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter @SexPartyFM. Follow Dustin @DustinRibka.